The following is an initiation lecture given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on May 24th, 2009, in Phoenix, Mauritius.
Shri Guru Shri Jata Varakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagra Jata Sahagana Raguna Tanvita Tam Sajiva Sadvaita Zavaduta Prijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha So today we are gathered here for the most auspicious occasion, initiation ceremony. Initiation means beginning. When you initiate something, you begin it. So, initiation means the formal beginning of complete surrender to Krishna. Some may question the value of initiation, thinking, well, I'll just be a devotee of Krishna. I don't need to surrender to a spiritual master. But Krishna states in the Adi Purana, Ye me bhakta jana parata, na me bhaktas chate jana, mad bhaktanam chaye bhaktas, te me bhakta tamamata. He says, the one who is my devotee, he is not my devotee. But the devotee of my devotee, he is my devotee. Prabhupada always quoted the English saying, if you love me, love my dog. You see, the spiritual master, he is the dog of God. At least, we don't think of him as a dog, but he considers himself as dog of God. We consider him to be God's representative, but he feels himself to be the dog of God. So Prabhupada always quoted that, if you love me, love my dog. So Krishna says, if you really love me, then you must become the devotee of my devotee. Sometimes people may question also, well, the spiritual master flies in, he gives diksha, he flies out. What sort of guru is that? He should stay here and give constant instructions to his disciples. Actually, I give daily instructions, and through my emails, I send an email newsletter to over 10,000 people all over the world, give them daily instructions and inspiration in Krishna consciousness. Every day I send it. And I answer all of my correspondence also. But the most important thing is I have an empowered representative here. And as you know, I have an empowered representative here in Mauritius. His Grace Srimad Sachi Tanya. Tanai. Sachi Tanai Prabhu. He is my empowered representative, you see. So my disciples, they are meant, and I am not physically here, they are meant to please my representative, the temple president. do very nice service, which is pleasing to him. So in this way, by his presence, I'm always present. Even though I may appear to be gone, I'm always present in the form of my representatives, Satchitanai Prabhu. So, this initiation is a very powerful event. Prabhupada told us in Los Angeles, he said this, he said, deathlessness begins from the moment of initiation. That means when you actually take initiation vows and take them very seriously, at that very moment you enter into immortality. And your material body just becomes a detail. Now you're actually living in your spiritual body. It's not fully visible yet, but you've actually activated your spiritual body at the time of initiation. So it's a very powerful moment when that disciple gets the beads in the name. They're actually entering into immortality at that very moment, provided they strictly follow the rules and regulations and never deviate, you see. Because if one deviates, then one spoils the initiation by that fall down. So one must remain very, very dedicated to the vows taken at the time of initiation. By following these four regulated principles, no illicit sex, no meat eating, no intoxication, gambling, you become situated in sattva guna, but that's not enough. Therefore, we also instruct they must chant at least 16 rounds on the japa mala. And simply chanting 16 rounds is not enough either, because you can go on chanting 16 rounds for millions of lifetimes and still not go back to Godhead. One has to chant and avoid the offenses. Prabhupada wanted at the initiation lecture that these 10 nama-aparadha should be carefully explained, because it's very important that while we're chanting, we must focus on chanting without committing these aparadhas. That pure chanting, you see, shuddhanam, that's what carries us through the coverings of the material world back into the eternal pastimes of Krishna. So, we recite these offenses often, but they need, Prabhupada wanted them to be repeated again at this ceremony. Most important, to blaspheme the devotees who have dedicated their lives for propagating the holy name of the Lord. That means we must always respect all of the devotees. We must worship and always respect the devotees of the Lord, never criticizing them like they are some rascals, you see. Must always respect their saints. Number two, to consider the names of the demigods like Lord Shiva or Lord Brahma to be equal to or independent in the name of Lord Vishnu. In other words, Krishna is not just one of the gods, you see. He's not another than one of the gods. There is one supreme God, and that is Krishna. Everyone must know there's one supreme God, and that is Krishna. The demigods are his assistants. They assist him in managing the affairs of this universe. They are in the material world. They cannot give you immortality. Even Brahmaji could not give immortality to Hiranyakashipu. You see, Brahmaji said, I cannot make you immortal. So if even the chief of all the demigods, Brahmaji, cannot give immortality, what the other gods can do, you see. If you want immortality, you must approach Krishna. So therefore, we should never think Krishna is another one of the gods. We have to understand his unique position. The third offense is to disobey the orders of the spiritual master. Some may think, well, I've got that one covered. I just won't take a guru. And then I'll never disobey his orders. But wait a minute. Prabhupada is our guru also. He is our founder acharya. And he has instructed us that unless we get initiated, we won't go back to Godhead. If you read that, it's in the Nectar Devotion. So, if you want to, If you don't get initiated, you're disobeying Srila Prabhupada. So we have to all qualify ourselves for initiation. That's the order of Srila Prabhupada. If we want to qualify to go back to Godhead, we require to become initiated. And to begin initiated, we have to become fixed in chanting the rounds and following the regulated principles. The fourth offense is to blaspheme the Vedic literature, or literature in pursuance of the Vedic version. Any transcendental literature that's presenting the authorized message that's coming to us from Prabhupada in all the writings of the Goswamis and the great Acharyas in our line, we must always respect and worship all of these literatures. Should never think that they're some ordinary speculative writing. They are revealed knowledge. To consider the glories of chanting Hare Krishna to be imagination. We should never think this is some exaggeration that the holy name will deliver us from birth and death. The holy name will deliver us. We must have complete faith in the holy name. To give some interpretation on the holy name. This is what the Sanskrit scholars do. They say, well, Krishna means black, and black means dark, and dark means ignorance. So Krishna means ignorance. So in Krishna, in the Bhagavad Gita, surrender unto me means you should become ignorant. You see, because Krishna means ignorant. This kind of nonsense word jugglery, you see, the scholars engage in. It's called giving an interpretation. We should take the version coming from the Acharyas. We should not be mental speculators. The seventh offense is to commit sinful activities on the strength of the Holy Name. You see, in the Catholic Church, they will sin all week long. They say, there's no problem, I'll just go for confession on Saturday. And the Father will tell me to chant, you know, so many Hail Marys. And that way I neutralize my sin, and I can start again next week having fun again. Every Saturday I'll get neutralized. You see, we cannot have that mentality in Krishna consciousness. Well, I really feel like going out and having some sin tonight, but I'll chant extra rounds tomorrow morning to make up for it. No. Krishna consciousness means you must give up sinful activities. Accidental fall down is another thing. But that can be recovered from if you take up the process again. But we cannot intentionally engage in sinful activities. That will completely destroy everything. To consider the chanting of Hare Krishna as one of the auspicious ritualistic activities offered in the Vedas as fruitive activities, karma kanda. That means, well, I want a job, so I will invite everybody over for a kirtan so I can get a job or a new car. No, you don't chant Hare Krishna for some material benefit. You don't need to, because Krishna knows what you need better than what you know what you need. Just pray for pure bhakti. Ananyaschintayantamam yejana paryapasate tesham nichabhyuktanam yogachemam vahamyam. If you just pray for pure bhakti, then Krishna will give you everything you need. Everything you need, spiritual and material, he will give you. And just pray for pure bhakti. That's the key. To instruct the faithless persons about the glories of the holy name. And someone say, well, that's great. I didn't like preaching anyway. Now I have my excuse. No, that's not what it means. It means don't preach in such a way that you cause people to become blasphemous. That's what it means. Actually, we are ordered by Lord Chaitanya to preach to everybody. Whoever you meet, he says, instruct them in the teachings of Krishna. In this way, on my order, you become guru. And deliver the people of this country. So that means Mauritius. You are duty bound to deliver this whole country. Each and every one of you must make everyone in this country Krishna conscious. So what does this mean? Not to preach to the faithless. Because so many faithless people are out there and we're told to preach to them. And it means you preach in such a way that you inspire them to be faithful. Don't give them more than they can handle. Keep it to their level, you see. Keep it to their level. If someone is an atheist, use logic and philosophy to show them there has to be a supreme controller. Just like how many machines have you seen that operate on their own without an operator starting them? Is there any machine that can start without an operator starting them? Every machine requires an operator. You see, just like I have a watch, it's one of those self-winding. You have to move it for it to work. If it sits still, it'll go dead. Or a car, you have to turn the ignition key, you see. Every machine requires an operator. You can tell the atheist. You challenge him, show me one machine that doesn't need an operator to at least start it. You see. He cannot show even one machine that does not require an operator. So, okay, the universe is a gigantic machine. Therefore, we can understand there must be an operator for the machine. So in this way, you intelligently preach to people so that they can't find it, they can't, so they're defeated. So they have to accept, you see, in this way. So this means to preach very intelligently so people don't become blasphemous. The tenth offense is to not have complete faith in the chanting of the holy names and maintain material attachments even after understanding so many instructions on this matter. This is important. One should be very, very diligent. So how do you give up material attachments? I mean, we're all materially attached. How do you give it up? It's very simple. Become more and more and more attached to Krishna. And whatever you're attached to in this material world, you don't have to give it up. Engage it in Krishna's service. If you're attached to your husband, engage him in Krishna's service. If you're attached to your wife, engage her in Krishna's service. If you're attached to your kids, engage them in Krishna's service. If you're attached to your parents, engage them in Krishna's service. Sometimes the children make the parents devotees, you see. If you're attached to your country, then you make Mauritius Krishna conscious. If you're attached to singing, sing about Krishna. If you're attached to writing poetry, write poems about Krishna. Whatever you're attached to, you offer that in Krishna's service. But if you're a butcher, forget it. You got to find a new job. Got to get some new training. Be a vegetarian cook, something like that. And the last item is you shouldn't be inattentive while chanting Hare Krishna. Not that I'm chanting my rounds, my mind is somewhere else, you see. And that's not good. You must bring your mind back to the transcendental vibration. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. In this way, you see, you will go deeply into the name, and that name will carry you not just over the Indian Ocean. And that name will carry you over the material ocean all the way to Goloka Vrindavan. Air Mauritius can carry you over the Indian Ocean, but it can't carry you over the material ocean. This airplane, Hare Krishna Vimana, you see, Hare Krishna Airlines, this airline will take you over the material ocean. You see, Prabhupada is the captain of the ship. You see, and there are so many assistant captains, the gurus, you see, and the senior Vaishnavas, you see. Temple presidents, the leaders, the GBCs, these are the assisting Prabhupada in this airplane ride back to home, back to Godhead. So, just become attached to this ISKCON, you see. Become more and more attached to ISKCON. I'm very attached to ISKCON, that's why I've been with it for 38 years. I've never left it for a minute. I've always stayed with this movement because I know this movement is not different from Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada is my dearmost friend, my ever well-wisher. So to show my appreciation for him, I'm always remaining loyal to his institution of ISKCON. And I expect my disciples to do the same thing. You see, no matter, even if times get tough, even if there's hard times in our society, and sometimes there are hard times because we are neophytes, still, stick with the society. Never leave the society. Prabhupada said, if you leave ISKCON, you leave me. I'm saying the same thing to my followers. If you leave me, you leave ISKCON. So I'm one of Prabhupada's limbs, his angas, to assist him in this mission. So, in this way, we can understand the importance of how to become Krishna conscious. All right, now, so someone can place the three strand of neck beads around the initiate's neck. Anyone else have something they'd like to say about her qualification? Speak up so everyone can hear. Let the whole room hear. We want everyone to hear why she's qualified for initiation.
She is engaged in the deity worship. She comes early in the morning, twice a week, sometimes thrice a week, at 4:30 to begin her service.
There you go.
In the morning. That's very, very
nice. Very nice.
And she is very steady in her service.
So she's attached to Archana then. That gives me an idea. So, what are the four regulated principles?
No illicit sex, no eating, including fish and eggs, no intoxication, including tea, coffee, and cigarettes, no gambling.
And how many rounds of Hare Krishna Japa Mala will you chant on the beads every day? Very good. So, considering what they have explained to me, Krishna has inspired me to give you a very special name. Everyone's ready? Your name is Archana Siddhi Devi Dasi. One Archana Siddhi means the one becoming perfect through Archana. Archana is worship and Siddhi is perfection. So, you must become perfect through Archana. You attain Siddhi through Archana. Right, so now you can resume your seat.